Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Top story at PrisonPlanet.com and InfoWars.com. Obama is being blackmailed into attacking Iran. Neocons hype assassination attempt on president to be blamed on political extremists. Obama is the next false flag. They're definitely pre-programming the population for this, as they did before 9/11, as they did before Copenhagen, as they did before the flu outbreak. We told you 3 months before. We understand their operations. I'm telling you, they're moving on this front. Michael Bagnarik, all I can say is I am so glad you didn't die, even though you did die for 10 minutes with that massive total heart attack. And it's good to have you back with us. We've got 4 minutes left, and I'd like to just get final comments, statements, words of encouragement, anything else you'd like to add.
Well, I'd like to invite you and your wife to attend my Constitution class on March 13th as my guest. I would love to to see you again. Maybe we can have dinner when I come into town. But for your listeners, really, just don't give up hope. It's always darkest just before the dawn. I know that the, new world order is coming down with a lot of, really strange laws. But that's only because we are being successful in the liberty movement. Get to know your neighbors. Throw a little barbecue as soon as it warms up. Get to know your neighbors. Those are the people that you're going to need to rely on, if the electricity goes out or, when there's a little bit of social unrest. You need to know who you can trust, and you need to get involved with your neighbors now. Stock up on food. Get one of the solar power generators that Alex advertises. You need to be prepared, and you need to know the truth. So, continue listening to Alex's program. And if you'd like to take my class, you can find out all you need at constitutionpreservation.org.
And when we get up here and we say we're winning, we're having success, I mean, 10 years ago I was saying we're doomed if people don't wake up. I don't just get up here and cheerlead. Look at all the evidence. Look at the success we're having. That's why it's more important than ever that people that were fighting 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago and then quit, all that work they did decades ago is now bearing fruit. But now, make hay while the sun's shining. People's minds are fertile to be unlocked now. I mean, there is a awakening that's terrifying the globalist. And they're so greedy that the banks are openly robbing the planet, but they're now revealed. I mean, this is so positive. In closing, why do you think they've gone public with world government after denying it? I mean, I guess we're just to that point now. It's time for them to admit it.
I think their window of opportunity is closing. If you're a farmer and you've got all the animals inside the corral, you don't have to rush because there's no way that the animals can escape. But if there's an open gate someplace where the animals get out, you've got to run and try to close that gate to trap all the animals. And I think from their point of view, they do not have things, completely in hand. Otherwise, there'd be no reason for them to rush to try to push this through as quickly as possible. And I believe that it is, especially because we are waking up. I can't even estimate how many people you've brought woke up with your programs and your videos. When I was at home recovering with my parents, my mother and I watched the fall of the Republic, and she sat on the edge of the couch with her mouth open. I have to confess, I kept pushing pause to go, see, I told you, and then we'd push play again.
Well, I want to interview you. I keep meaning to do this for the next fall of the Republic. So perhaps when you do come to Austin, you can come a day early, and I can get you a hotel room a day early, and then we can come interview you, maybe go to dinner that way. I wouldn't want to be a distraction at your event. There might be some COINTELPRO show up and say I'm not supposed to be there. I'm serious. It's unbelievable. They're all over me. Michael Bagnarik, I really appreciate you joining us. Let me say bye to you during the break. Webster Tarpley's coming up after I play a 4-minute clip of Ron Paul on the economic implosion in Europe. Webster Tarpley with key info straight ahead. Michael Bagnarik, we love you. You're awesome.
You are too, Alex. Thanks.
Why is drinking pure high alkaline pH water the most important factor in maintaining high energy and vibrant health? Because alkalizing water helps your body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. AlkaVision Plasma pH drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using AlkaVision pH drops is the best way to make your water alkaline to help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to an alkaline level. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or by calling 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776 today.
Hundreds of nations have fallen to tyranny in the last century alone. This is our last chance to not relive history.
As we're finishing off this agenda, they'll be pulling the rug from underneath Americans at home.
They have tremendous influence on our president and Congress, and they really are calling the shots.
I think it's incumbent upon all of us as American citizens to pay attention.
All of the Republic identifies the enemies of our nation, the criminal offshore cartel, hell-bent on destroying sovereignty, and on its ashes constructing world government.
Tim Geithner, Bernanke, they're arsonists. They're asking for more matches. And the Congress is saying, who do we make the check out to?
Today seems like nobody does care. And right now in Washington, D.C., we have seen a fall of the Republic.
Get your copy of Fall of the Republic on DVD at InfoWars.com or watch it online right now in super high quality at PrisonPlanet.tv.
Remain in your houses. The President of the United States has declared martial law under Executive Order 11004.
Will they do it? Will they pull the trigger this time? We all pray they stand down, but an engineered crisis seems more likely with each passing day. Think it can't happen here? Executive Order 10990 locks down all highways. Executive Order 10995 seizes control of all media outlets. Executive Order 10998 controls all farms and food supplies. All these executive orders are now cocked, loaded, and waiting for the right crisis. So if you're worried about the possibility of martial law here in America or have questions about how to survive it, go to martiallawsurvival.com. That's martiallawsurvival.com. Go to martiallawsurvival.com right now.
You must remain in your houses until your bracelets are scanned.
Hello, this is Ron Paul with your weekly update for February 15th. Last week, we were reminded that ours is not the only country suffering from severe economic turmoil. The Greek government is the latest to come close to default on their massive public debt. Greece has insufficient funds in their treasury to make even the minimum payments that are now coming due. Their debt level is about 120% of their gross domestic product, and their public sector absorbs what amounts to 40% of GDP. Any talk of cutting costs and spending is met with violent protests from the many Greeks heavily dependent on government payments. Mounting fears of default have sent shockwaves through their creditors and all of the Eurozone countries. But there have been statements made by the European Central Bank to calm fears and give assurances that Greece will get the aid it needs. Details of agreements are not forthcoming. Is it possible that our Federal Reserve has had some hand in bailing out Greece? The fact is, we don't know, and current laws exempt agreements between the Fed and foreign central banks from disclosure or audit. Greece is only the latest in a series of countries that have faced this type of crisis in recent memory. Not too long ago, the same types of fears were mounting about Dubai and before that, Iceland. Several other countries, Spain, Portugal, Ireland, Latvia, are approaching crisis level with public debt as well. Many have strong ties to Goldman Sachs, and the case could easily be made that default could have serious implications for big U.S. banking cartels. Considering the ties between the Fed and these big banks, it's not outlandish to wonder if the U.S. taxpayer is secretly bailing out the entire world country by country, even as our real unemployment tops 20%. Unless laws are changed to allow a complete and meaningful audit of the Federal Reserve, including its agreements with foreign central banks, we might never know if this is occurring or not. This global financial crisis is a predictable result of secretive central banking and unsound fiat currency. Governments are entirely committed to this system of fiat money and fractional reserve banking for obvious reasons. It enables them to do what they love most, spend hordes of money with near impunity. Without the limitations of sound money, governments will spend without limit. They will spend money to hire their cronies, pay off special interests, give out favors, create dependence, and generally distract from the terrible job they do as their chief mandate, which is to protect the liberties of the people. Fiat money is a blank check to government, which is very dangerous, and we are witnessing the death throes of the system as the bills come due, and the underlying capital is squandered away. Because of our globe-straddling empire and lingering reserve currency status, perhaps no one has a more vested interest in keeping the system cobbled together than our own government and the Federal Reserve. The agreements that Iceland and Dubai and Greece have negotiated can amount to little more than kicking the can down the road, as their overall spending habits remain largely intact. Fiat currencies are still legal tender, and more debt is issued on top of unsustainable debt. The American people have the right to know if they are going to be the ones holding the bag in the end, because the Federal Reserve secretly put them on the hook for it. This knowledge would be a key factor in peacefully dismantling this immoral and unconstitutional system. Thanks for calling this update. A new update is placed on this number, 888-322.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, that's Ron Paul. We're going to be talking about the complete economic meltdown that's clearly happening. Sales tax revenues, property tax revenues, all plunging. The next big crisis now beginning in commercial real estate, as shops where I live shut down everywhere. Many shopping centers, even in middle-class areas, are half empty. Poor areas, it's even worse. I want to go over that coming up in about 30 minutes with Webster Griffin Tarpley, who is an economist, a Ph.D. of history as well, a doctorate of history, and we really appreciate him joining us. We sell all four of his published books, 9/11 Synthetic Terror, his two books on Obama, his Economic Cataclysm book. They're all invaluable and discounted at Infowars.com. And you may know all this stuff, or may think you know it all. You'll learn a lot reading Tarpley's books. Get them, give them to other folks. Every mind you unlock is one step closer to bringing down the New World Order. Believing that these people aren't invincible is half the battle. Knowing who the enemy is, ladies and gentlemen, is half the battle. Taking action is the rest. Now, we're going to go to Tarpley in a moment. I first want to read from some of this article. I thought of Tarpley over the weekend as I was doing research, because I had remembered months ago when they had the gate crashers at the White House, and how they talked about how he wasn't safe in the White House. And Tarpley tied it in with some other news, and I've learned to respect what he has to say, his piercing understanding. He said these were threats to Obama, and that they were opening the public mind and creating kind of a track that Obama is going to be assassinated. There's already been a huge discussion of this in the media. Then I started seeing Sean Hannity and other neocon mouthpieces like Glenn Beck saying 9/11 truthers will try to kill Obama. Now, 9/11 truthers are against violence. 9/11 truthers expose false flag. 9/11 truthers expose Obama as a puppet. They're nonpartisan. It's been proven. Under Bush, they said we were liberals. Now under Obama, they say we're right-wingers. And they talk about, oh, my gosh, Deborah Medina might be a 9/11 truther, and the Democratic candidate in Texas is openly questioning 9/11. It's like everybody is. And the polls show that. And so depending on the poll, 36% to 84%, they vary widely in Angus and Reid and Gallup and Scripps Howard News Service polls. But let's say 50%. Let's take the medium. Let's take the middle here. When they try to stage an attack on the Christmas Day, you got 9/11 truthers, people that are tuned in on board. They notice he was led on, protected. Somebody else had a bomb. The FBI says they're liars. A month later, it comes out. The FBI reverses their story. Okay, we helped them get on the plane, as a part of an intelligence operation. We'll talk about that with Tarpley as well. We may keep a little bit in the next hour because I'm getting to him late here. But again, there's so much data that goes into this. I'm always trying to give listeners a picture of my mind and my understanding. But Then when I saw Glenn Beck start saying on the radio and TV the last 3 weeks, and I'm just spot checking him, and I tune in, he calls for a new value-added tax, a new sales tax to pay the bankers, another bailout. I tune in, he's for the Patriot Act. I tune in, same thing with O'Reilly. 9-11 truthers want to kill the president. No evidence, they're just saying this. Who's their number one enemy? According to White House regulations are that Obama's now operating under, saying he'll just use executive orders to circumvent everything. 9-11 truthers. What does NORTHCOM and Homeland Security say their big enemy is? Christians, conservatives, returning veterans, gun owners, 9-11 truthers, in the fetters. People that are awake, populist, constitutionalist. And so I see them openly saying 9-11 truth is going to try to kill him. And Beck's like, I'm predicting it, mark my words. They love to act like prophets. So we know, that's how I knew they were going to launch 9-11. I saw them introducing bin Laden as the boogeyman. He's going to get you. He's going to attack you. I knew the feds had took the bomb, trained the driver in 93. I knew they'd already attacked the World Trade Center. I knew they had foreign operatives running the World Trade Center and a bunch of other data. I said they're going to attack it the next few months, blame it on bin Laden. I was right. 3 months before the flu outbreak, I got government documents. They were getting ready to stage something on flu. Told you. It's the same thing here. They are planning to attempt to kill Obama. He's probably in on it. It'll be staged like 10 years ago with the situation in Taiwan with their president staging a shooting of himself, and it came out it was fake. They did a fake grazing and just had some blanks go off and a little fake cut he put on himself. So this is done over and over again, or they could really kill him. And that's why I've got Webster Tarpley on to break this down and give us his take on it from his slightly different perspective from mine. It's not that we disagree. I just want to get his view on it. But key article up on PrisonPlanet.com and Infowars.com, Obama is being blackmailed into attacking Iran, neocons hype assassination attempt on president to be blamed on political extremist. And this is why this is important. Dovetailed with all this, they say, if you attack Iran, we're going to support you. Sarah Palin, Beck have all said it. If you don't, the 9-11 truthers will kill you. So the message is, we're going to kill you and blame it on our opposition if you don't do this. Now, let's see if Webster Griffin Tarpley agrees with my analysis. I didn't talk to him before he went on air. You're going to find out with me right now. Dr. Tarpley, do you agree, and what can you add?
Well, I think you've certainly identified a real problem. Maybe we take a couple of steps backward, though, because I think it's a complex problem. During the election campaign, the idea that Obama's life was in danger was largely a myth spread by his own campaign, I think, by his own followers. They had a deep emotional need to believe that Obama was in danger, because this helped to mask the fact that he was so obviously a Wall Street puppet. In other words, he was a wholly owned subsidiary of Wall Street, but somehow the emotional need of the Obama supporter was to view him as somebody who was an anti-establishment rebel and insurgent, and therefore in grave danger because he was...
So is this Beck trying to invoke Democrats to hate 9-11 truthers?
Well, I think that's now a different phase. Now, let's also look at what the idea that Obama needs to be blackmailed in order to attack Iran, I think, is also probably not germane. Obama ran as a warmonger, right? We have to remember, he ran as the guy who was going to bomb Pakistan unilaterally without talking to the Pakistani government. He was very, very adamant about that, and he was going to win the war in Afghanistan. And we had this famous incident where Obama said, I'm going to send assassins and I'm going to send predator drones into Pakistan to get Obama where he lives. And Hillary Clinton said, no, this is too much. McCain said it's too much. And even Bush said, no, it's too much, because I talked to my friend Musharraf there, who was running Pakistan at the time.
Only the fake liberal could get away with expanding war. So
right, now that's one phase. Now, if we look at Obama has had these, I think, three incidents, right? We have the Salahis on the night of the Manmohan Singh state dinner back in December. We had another guy who got in the same night. So there were two incidents counting three people that night. And then apparently a month before that, there was a middle-aged black war veteran and his wife who got into a breakfast. So it's a total of three incidents. Five people got in who should not have gotten in. Now, Obama would have been well advised to fire the head of the Secret Service, which he didn't do.
We're going to skip this break because this is so important. I do this occasionally. But Webster,
let's just compare this, right? right? Let's compare it to some others, right? Because what I would argue is that Obama's treatment has been relatively mild so far. Ronald Reagan, what did he have? He had Hinckley shooting at him. So I think that's a pretty clear one. Gerald Ford had at least two people, right? He had Lynette Squeaky Fromm and Sarah Jane Moore shooting at him. In the case of Clinton, it's often forgotten. In 1993-94, there were lots of really rough things done to Clinton. His helicopter crashed, killing three or four Marines who were flying that Marine One. There was a guy in the D.C. City Council here who was a political friend of Clinton's by the name of Wilson, who was found hanged in his apartment. And then you've got Vince Foster. Now, I always viewed Vince Foster as the intelligence community murdering a person in Clinton's immediate entourage in order to intimidate him. Other people saw it as Clinton doing this. I don't see how that makes any sense. What makes sense to me is that's the intelligence community doing that, right, up here in Fort Marcy, above the Potomac. You also had in Clinton's, a little bit later in the Clinton presidency, you had this case where a light plane actually crashed into the side of the White House, not so far from Clinton's office, right? That was a few years on. In the case of Bush, we have to remember 9/11 itself was full of threats to Bush, and I've written about this at great length, right? There were reports coming to Bush that there was an attack going on his ranch, that there were other planes were going to come crash into Air Force
One. He ran away scared. So clearly he's such a delusional puppet. You're saying from your research he was only let in on it later?
Sure. He's a very low-level participant in this. And indeed, the centerpiece of 9/11 is Angel is Next. I have a whole chapter about Angel is Next in my book on 9/11, which is a direct threat to Bush. In other words, if you don't do what we want, which is to declare the war of civilizations against Iraq and get going and start saying bin Laden and al-Qaeda and terrorism and all this, then something bad is going to happen to you. So you can see that compared to other presidents, this has not been very rough, right? Obama has now got these incidents, three incidents, five people. He's also got a significant number of death threats, but he's also a couple of people have already been sentenced to jail for threatening Obama, but I think on the whole, this is not the roughest treatment that we've seen in recent years. Although it unmistakably is a reminder to Obama that he is a puppet, and he better remember that he's a puppet. I think what we saw in the case of the Christmas patsy with the State Department now revealing through this guy, Undersecretary of State for Management Patrick Kennedy, they've revealed that there was a desire in the State Department, an intention in the State Department to revoke the visa of the Detroit Christmas patsy, Mutalab, but that this revoking of the visa was blocked by a U.S. agency, which he refused to name in public. He wouldn't tell you who it was. But somebody came forward and said, no, we're putting a national security override on this. We're flagging this guy's name because we're tailing him. We're watching him. We've got eyes on him. He's going to lead us to some really big fish, so therefore you can't touch him. He's immune. And, of course, that's the classic method that a mole uses to protect the patsy. The mole's responsibility is to make sure that the patsy got through.
And we see that with Oklahoma City. We see it with 9/11. In every case, the shoe bomber, the government gets them on the plane. The government causes a stand down.
Well,
they're always being trained. But Webster.
Rather than say government, see, in this case, you see that Obama.
It's private, global, corporate intelligence nexus networks with key rogue groups interfacing at international level. But
right,
you also see that the
State Department would like to lift the visa, at least they claim, but then another agency says, no, we're overriding that. And the general idea in the Obama White House, as we saw on January 4th, right, with this very interesting broadcast by Richard Wolff on MSNBC, he came on Olbermann and came on Rachel Maddow and said, the Obama White House thinks that the Christmas Day incident was intentional by a network with an alternative agenda, and that it's designed to make Obama look bad. Now, the Obama look bad part is very superficial and trivial compared to the big geopolitical goals that are always involved, right? We had several weeks of hysteria.
Launch the new Yemen war, get the naked body scanners in. Look, I want to go over all this with you, but first, specifically, I know clearly they are putting out the talking point through neocon channels that 9/11 Truth, who we know is the White House and the rogue network's number one enemy. We have Cass Sunstein admitting it. We have Bush's congressional hearing saying it, Webster. They're clearly putting out the trial balloon, the psychological backstory, the history that 9/11 truth is going to kill the president. Now, my question to you is, I mean, I believe, and I've gotten a pretty darn good track record of being able to gauge what they're up to and doing, that at bare minimum, they're putting the card in their hand. They're taking it out of their sleeve and putting the false flag, fake assassination attempt, getting ready to play it, considering that they may go ahead and try it. So they're gauging right now to stage an assassination on Obama to get his approval ratings up, and I believe he's probably involved in it, and then it could have the added intimidation threat on top of it. I mean, why are the neocons and others right now saying 9/11 truth is going to try to kill him?
Well, I think you have to take that very seriously. And I, the reason I think you should take it seriously is also because what's going on in the background, I think, is a very important strategic shift. And again, you have to take a step back. Last week, we had February 11th in Iran, right, the anniversary of the revolution. And the Green Movement, the CIA-backed color revolution, people power coup forces associated with Mousavi, Rafsanjani, and the mullahs, as we now find out, were attempting to make this a test of strength, that they would bring out their green base and overwhelm the Ahmadinejad supporters, overwhelm the existing government, and maybe start a people power coup on February 11th. This has been going on, of course, since last summer. Now, this was a complete failure. It fizzled completely. They did not have the people. They were not coordinated. The forces are demoralized and so forth. So it means that for the moment, the idea of overthrowing the Iranian government from within and getting a regime change is out the window. So now what you see from Hillary Clinton and others is beating the drum for crippling economic sanctions against Iran. But then behind that looms what I think is an important shift. For the first time in 2 years now, I think the attack on Iran is on the front burner. It was way on the back burner. It was several rows back on this stove that they have, but now it's on the absolute front burner.
Well, I agree with you. They're moving in troops, moving in ships, moving in missile systems, defensive and offensive, and I want to walk through this with you, Webster, but specifically, when my little alarm bells start going off, you know, it's almost more than just the data. I mean, it's like a hunch, but I've pretty much always been right. Why are they saying 9/11 truth is going to kill Obama? What's the point of that?
Well, they want the option. Again, you have to be aware, though, there would probably be other options, right? You've mentioned some of them, right? Some of them would be disgruntled right-wing war veterans. But then again, the other possibility is somebody with a link to Iran would also be very convenient. So
No, that's what Beck's saying. He says 9/11 truth works with Iran, so they're going to get a double goody.
Well, that makes it even more plausible then. So I think everybody should take that stuff very, very, very seriously.
So you think, you think my concerns are valid?
Absolutely valid, sure. The only thing is, we've got to keep in mind there's an array of possibilities, and every one of them gives them certain advantages. Here's the thing, though. The attack on Iran now is not the same as the attack on Iran in 2006-2007, when the Cheney group, the rogue network, invisible government, with Cheney as the visible part of that above the waterline, they really wanted to attack Iran for the purpose of destroying Iran, and the other stuff would have been secondary. Right now, the attack on Iran is primarily directed against China, because the big thing in Washington right now is the absolute hysteria of the ruling class, right, the elite, the Wall Street group and their political commissars here in Washington, is the idea that China is catching up and passing the United States, right? It's already the world's biggest exporter. There's some question about whether it's passed Japan to become the world's biggest economy. They're building, as Obama said today, China is building 21 nuclear reactors of the most modern type. And Obama came forward and said, we're going to counter that with two. So it's pathetic. The Chinese have got, they're building 18,000 miles of fast rail. The U.S. has, 200, 300 miles. They're going into space, right, Obama?
Stay there. We've got a break. We're going to come back and go over this. And we have Hillary saying, we'll put sanctions on China if you don't let us attack Iran. I mean, it's insane.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Afraid to answer it? Afraid to answer your door? Did you know that debt settlement, bankruptcy, and attorneys will cost you about 10 times more than you would legally be required to pay creditors? These are not ways to help you get out of debt. They are expensive payment plans. And if you're in debt already, does it make sense to load yourself up with another payment plan? Zero debt in 90 days gets you out of debt in 90 days, guaranteed. And that's the website you need to visit right now. ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Zero debt in 90 days gets you out of debt without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com is the quickest solution to debt relief on the planet. If you have more than $25,000 in credit card debt, student loans, or difficult mortgage situation, we can help, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com.
Hundreds of nations have fallen to tyranny in the last century alone. This is our last chance to not relive history.
As we're finishing off this agenda, they'll be pulling the rug from underneath Americans at home.
They have tremendous influence on our president and Congress, and they really are calling the shots.
I think it's incumbent upon all of us as American citizens to pay attention.
Fall of the Republic identifies the enemies of our nation, the criminal offshore cartel, hell-bent on destroying sovereignty, and on its ashes constructing world government.
Tim Geithner, Bernanke, they're arsonists. They're asking for more matches. And the Congress is saying, who do we make the check out to?
Today, seems like nobody does care. And right now in Washington, D.C., we have seen a fall of the Republic.
Get your copy of Fall of the Republic on DVD at InfoWars.com or watch it online right now in super high quality at PrisonPlanet.tv.
Thomas Jefferson once said, when the people fear their government, there is tyranny. When the government fears the people, there is liberty. Our God-given right to life and liberty and the right to determine what is best for our lives and our families' health are in jeopardy. If we the people do not diligently assert these rights, they may be taken away and lost forever. Utopia Silver is known for fighting for health freedom, and we will not meekly allow ourselves to be led as lambs to the slaughter. Sitting passively by and accepting the chains of slavery that are being placed on America is not an option. Please stand with Utopia Silver in this fight. Utopia Silver carries some of the most effective colloidal silver products on the market and numerous other high-quality health supplements. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's U-T-O-P-I-A, utopiasilver.com. Or call us today at 1-888-213-4338. 1-888-213-4338.
Okay, Webster. Continuing as you give us this larger geopolitical breakdown, I agree with you. If you remember, one of the few predictions where you were wrong, and nobody's perfect, was you were sure they were going to attack Iran, what was it, 4 years ago? And I didn't believe they were from all my sources. But you've been right more times than I have been, and I agree with you this time, and that's why I'm worried. They clearly are saying they want to go into Iran. Israel's saying it. They're pre-positioning. What will the attack look like? It's now on the front burner. How do we stop it from happening? And on the larger scene, how will they precipitate it? Will it be a false flag? What type of false flag are you looking for?
Let me just backtrack now. The last time we had this active danger was 2006-2007, which was the twilight of the neocon Cheney invisible government regime under the second Bush administration. And that was, of course, the rogue B-52 of August to September 2007 was the high point of that, after which the danger, because it had been blocked, right?
That the was missing blocked. Cruise missiles.
That was blocked by forces inside the U.S. military and the intelligence community. And it
and Fox Fallon said no. I mean, that was the real end of it.
It went up the ladder, and then the answer came back no. And the no probably came from Robert Gates in the Pentagon by then. the Brzezinski guy put in with the idea that they were going to change the policy and get rid of the neocon approach to these things. When you had the National Intelligence Estimate of December 2007 saying, and it's worth stressing again today, there is no Iranian nuclear weapons program as of December 2007, that was a sign that inside the bureaucracy, the people who wanted the attack on Iran had lost out, and that the Brzezinski group coming in saying, we have better things in store for Iran. What they had in store, of course, was the color revolution that now seems to have fizzled, with the idea being, if you could put in a U.S. puppet regime in Iran, it's possible, that you could then use Iran against China by cutting off oil and against Russia by making trouble in the Caspian Sea and in Central Asia in general. So as soon as I think by January 2008, I put out now that the attack on Iran was getting to be less and less likely. So that, and I think that has held true during 2008, 2009.
And now, currently, Iran is not making anything near fissile material. They asked France to enrich it for them so everybody would know it couldn't be used in a weapon system. They want to supply nuclear energy to the Middle East. They know that they can't count on oil, and they're told no, no, no.
Right, which is, of course, illegal. It's outrageous. It's a double standard, right? Pakistan has nuclear weapons. Israel has nuclear weapons. What is the signaling out of Iran? It's contrary to international law, because in international law, everybody has to be equal, formally equal. There has to be complete reciprocity, no hypocrisy, no double standard.
And we go back to 53. It's been a Anglo-American-British possession. They've always wanted it back.
Right. Now, just in terms of the war danger, a couple of things to cite. Ahmadinejad, in his speech, I guess, yesterday, or this morning even, says Israel wants war by spring, summer of this year. So that's Ahmadinejad. And General Ivashov, right, the former head of the Russian military, high official of the Russian Defense Ministry, I met him at Thierry Masson's Access for Peace back in 2005. He says that the danger of an Israeli attack on Iran right now is greater than it ever was. And you've got Netanyahu in Moscow for 2 days trying to convince Russia, among other things, not to deliver this A-300 surface-to-air missile capability, which would make it not impossible, but much more difficult and much more expensive in terms of planes and pilots lost for anybody to attack certain key targets inside Iran. So all of this is coming together. In the middle of this, Hillary Clinton has made a speech, which I think is really a teachable moment. She says, and this is, she repeated this three times yesterday. She's in the Gulf, right? She was in Qatar, I guess, and then she went on to Saudi Arabia. She's trying to organize the Saudis and their friends in the Gulf Cooperation Council to be part of what looks like.
And we now have a Saudi minister agreeing that sanctions aren't enough. So Saudi Arabia, where the 15 hijackers came from, always wanting to attack other countries.
Well, I think they fear Iran, and I think they've been cajoled and threatened maybe to go along with this. But here's what Hillary Clinton says is really bizarre. She says the big danger now is that Iran is getting to be a military dictatorship. I think that is correct, and that's been visible for the past 3, 4, 5 months, that it's no longer the mullahs, it's no longer the mullahki, it's no longer the theocratic Islamic Republic. But you look at Ahmadinejad, he's a general. He's a general with, you know...
So it's a more scientific, disciplined, hardcore group.
Yeah, it's the kind of thing that the U.S. hates the most. The funny thing about the U.S. policy is, in public, they say that they're against Islamic fundamentalism. But in practice, they support it.
Yeah, they love a bunch of people running around mutilating their women, acting like fools. That's why they fund these brigades. But they're scared of what they are, a scientific military dictatorship with high-tech propaganda. They fear themselves in the mirror that they see in Iran.
Yeah, you can, you know, you look at Nasser in Egypt. They didn't like that. You look at the military government that preceded Saddam Hussein. The U.S. didn't like that. But now she comes out and says it. She says, we want sanctions against Iran to protect the Islamic Republic and the rule of the mullahs against the threat of the Revolutionary Guard, the Pasteran, the military.
And that's clearly last summer's coup was really a bunch of the original revolutionaries the CIA clearly funded. Let's go back then, Webster. Let's go back in a snapshot. This is a historical fact, but people, a lot of them don't know this. Explain to people what happened, what really happened in 79 and flying, you know, the kingpin in from Paris. Explain what that strategic Brzezinski model was really about.
Exactly. That's what Hillary Clinton has shown, that the U.S. policy is to support an Islamic fundamentalist theocracy in Iran. The U.S. has always been the main backer. The
Look at who they put in Iraq. The women are now wearing the turbans.
Yeah.
It's now an Islamic republic.
In other words, enforced backwardness and enforced self-isolation. 1979 is simply this. The Shah has two sides. The Shah is politically a monster, of course, because he's got the Sabak, he's got this awful Gestapo that goes around repressing people and so forth. A horrendous human rights situation. But on the other hand, he's building about $75 billion to $100 billion of those days in development projects. He's building steel mills, urban mass transit. He's building a whole nuclear industry. If the Shah's plans had been allowed to go through, Iran would have been a nuclear power in terms of nuclear energy and probably more, you know, decades ago. Wouldn't have never been an issue. And as soon as Khomeini came in, he immediately shut down $75 to $80 billion of these development projects. Among other things, they took the cooling towers of nuclear reactors and tried to use them as silos to store grain in. So this was a tremendous step backward. The other thing about the Shah that the U.S. objected to a great deal was that he was making deals not with London and Washington, New York, but he was dealing with the Italians. He was the Italian civil engineering companies were building the city of, well, today it's called Bandar Khomeini, but it was Bandar Abbas in those days, and the Soviets and the Japanese and everybody else was a welcome partner in Iran. So the U.S. said, no, we will not allow these other countries to come in and develop Iran. We're going to enforce backwardness on Iran.
And so here comes the Muslim. Here comes the Muslim brigade. They use against the U.S. They use against every other country. They use against the Serbs. They use them against the Russians. It's admittedly their creation. And Glenn Beck saying we better give all our rights up, or the radical Muslims will get us. And then meanwhile, Bush 3 years ago puts out a press release at WhiteHouse.gov admitting that they're using Wahhabist al-Qaeda groups to attack the Iranians. Meanwhile, the news says Iran is al-Qaeda when it's Shiite, the opposite group.
Yeah, it's an incredible mishmash, but the one constant that goes through it is Zbigniew Brzezinski said in 78-79, Islamic fundamentalism is our great bulwark against Soviet communism, meaning against Russia. Today, Hillary Clinton says the role of the United States is to interfere in the internal affairs of Iran with these sanctions because we want to protect the mullah regime. We want to protect this domination, the theocracy, in effect.
What an incredible statement. She's
really
saying,
it's letting the cat out of the bag in a very, very gross way. I mean, everybody in the world is noticing how bizarre is this. Now, she may be saying that to try to make it easier for the Saudis to get into a war with Iran, because she can say, you Saudis, don't worry, these are not fellow Muslims, even on paper. These are really military dictators. These are really communists or socialists or something like this, right? Like Saddam Hussein or Nasser or something like this. This is now the situation. So I would once again say, the big shift is now we're back to the attack on Iran as a definite possibility in the short run. But now this is mainly against China, because if you're attacking Iran today, this is to cut off oil to China. Iran, I think, sends China about 11 or 12% of the oil that China imports. There are it's about $75-80 billion of development deals.
But explain to me in globalization why they then give tax incentives to move all our businesses there, which select global corporations get basically oligopolies or cartels out of. I mean, what's the method to that madness? They give China all this power, but then on record are encircling them.
Yeah, it's the only way to approach it is that it's hopelessly contradictory because it's hopelessly irrational. In other words,
the bankers are greedy and want to go set everything up in China, but at the same time, they want to cut their oil off.
They want to have their cake and eat it, too. And they want to make money individually off Chinese labor and Chinese economic development. But then at the same time, we have this mode that has kicked in now. Well, hold on.
Plus, that phase is over. China's done its job. It's deindustrialized the U.S.
That's, again, nobody could deindustrialize the U.S. except the U.S. I'm pinning that on the U.S. ruling class directly.
No, I know, but that's what I'm saying. They partnered and set that up, just like they're plunging the euro today, and Goldman Sachs is in there sucking Spain and Greece and next Ireland dry, and they just move on as carrion birds from point to point.
Yeah, look, the mood in Washington, I would compare it to Great Britain looking at Germany before 1914. At that time, you know, Britain was the dominant financial center, certainly with significant industry. But Germany was coming up really fast. And after the Boer War, in the 10 or 15 years before World War One, the British had a choice. They looked at Germany and they said, well, this is very rapid economic development. Do we want to match that, right? China's getting 8, 9%, 10% economic growth per year. The U.S. has 10% unemployment, officially really 20%, and the Chinese have 10% economic growth. There's a poll today that 5 out of 7 Chinese think they're going to have more money in the coming year, right?
And then America's in decline, and we have the PLA commanders saying the U.S. is getting ready for war with them, dump our bonds. China doesn't usually just rattle sabers. This is incredible escalation.
Yeah, it is. That deterioration, that I think is why this attack on Iran is in many ways even more dangerous, because it is right now it's a oblique attack, a proxy attack on China. But the thing with China is, the U.S. could say, all right, let's have a peace race. In other words, if China is building 21 nuclear reactors, we'll build 100. If they're building 18,000 miles of fast rail, we'll build 100,000 miles.
But the parasite offshore bankers want all the money for themselves.
Yes.
To go buy up third world countries. They don't want us getting jack squat of our tax money.
Exactly. And then there would be a lot of people in Goldman Sachs would say that threatens our money.
So the bankers are worse than the commies.
Yes. Again, commies, I don't know what, you know, commie applied to China today is there are some, of course, but the economic process in general is not really communism at all. It's rather more like a dirigism or mercantilism of a rather traditional type. But the big problem is the U.S. ruling class, they have a choice. You could have a peace race, and you could engage with China. Again, if you're concerned because you're falling behind, then match the Chinese. Here, an example. Before 1914, the British felt threatened by the growth of the German fleet. So every time the Germans would lay down the keel of a battleship and start building it, the British would lay down two. They called this two keels to one. So fine. If you're worried about China, have two nuclear reactors to one, 2 miles of fast rail for every one they build, and put twice as much money into your space program. Right? Soon we're going to have, the Chinese will be on the moon, and we'll be sitting here in poverty with credit default swaps, collateralized debt obligations, and Goldman Sachs running the show. So the big problem for the U.S. ruling class is, you've got to choose a peace race and come away from these stupid policies. Because what they're doing now is saying, we'll foment war, we'll foment rebellion in Tibet, we're going to cause trouble with Taiwan, we're going to cause trouble in Xinjiang with this World Uyghur conference, we're going to have affronts to China, right? We're having the Dalai Lama here in Washington this week. And then we'll use Iran as, you can call it the Iran monkey trap, because they think they've got China in a bind, right? China needs Iran because they need that pipeline from Iran across Pakistan and into China, right? That's the long-term solution to China's energy problems, or at least a very large part of it, is to build those pipelines. So if you can break Chinese relations with Iran, they lose 10 or 12% of their oil now, 70, 80 billion of development contracts, plus hundreds of billions of future oil that they've contracted for, right? That could all be lost. And what Mrs. Clinton was doing in Saudi Arabia, she went there to get the Saudis to say, don't worry, Iran, we will give you the oil that you would have gotten from Iran if we put the sanctions on Iran. But it's basically a fraud.
Okay, well, listen, we understand the larger picture, and this is really excellent. I'm sure you do it, as no one else can. How do they precipitate? How do they get the American people to go along with this attack on Iran? And militarily, we know Cheney, they wanted a two-month sortie, thousands of flights, bombing the entire infrastructure, power plants, water treatment, factories, military bases, naval fleets. How do they get us to war, and what will the war look like?
Well, you know, during the course of 2009, one of the things we've seen is the return of false flag operations, right? We had Major Hassan at Fort Hood in November, and then we had the Christmas Patsy in December.
And every time intelligence knows all about it and protects them.
Right, and even before that, during the summer, we had Zazi between Flushing, New York, and Colorado. Big hysteria around that.
We had the black guy dressed up with a fake beard and turban with grenade launchers in New Jersey 3 weeks ago.
Right, we had the Scarsdale, I'm sorry, the Westchester Patsies who were going to attack a synagogue in Riverdale and also an air base a little bit north of New York City. So that has been building up. There's a big increase during 2009 compared to 2008.
All right, stay there then. We're going to answer those two key questions straight ahead with Lester Ribbon Tarpley. I'm Alex Jones. We're going to answer, how do they launch the false flag? What will the attack on Iran look like? What will the aftermath be?
Our economy is in great distress. The financial dominoes can fall at any time. It's time to stop hoping it doesn't happen and prepare just in case it does. You have auto and home insurance. Why wouldn't you have food insurance? Are you prepared to feed your family long term? Because it might take years to recover. As the adult, it's your responsibility to feed your family, especially during rough times. SurvivalistSeeds.com is offering a package that will give you a 3-acre heirloom vegetable garden anywhere. 50 heirloom varieties, 8,000 vegetable seeds, over 5 pounds of healthy food. Don't be fooled by marketing companies disguised as patriots. SurvivalistSeeds.com is owned by Big John Lipscomb, host of Don't Tread on Me radio show.
Hundreds of nations have fallen to tyranny in the last century alone. This is our last chance to not relive history.
As we're finishing off this agenda, that we're pulling the rug from underneath Americans at home.
I have tremendous influence on our president and Congress, and they really are calling the shots.
I think it's incumbent upon all of us as American citizens to pay attention.
All of the Republic identifies the enemies of our nation, the criminal offshore cartel, hell-bent on destroying sovereignty and on its ashes constructing world government.
Tim Geithner, Bernanke, they're arsonists. They're asking for more matches. And the Congress is saying, who do we make the check out to?
Today, it seems like nobody does care. And right now in Washington, D.C., we have seen a fall of the Republic.
Get your copy of Fall of the Republic on DVD at Infowars.com or watch it online right now in super high quality at PrisonPlanet.tv.
Lose 1 to 2 pounds a day the healthy way and keep it off with the help of the entire Real HCG diet. With an average weight loss of 1.5 to 2 pounds a day, you can be in that bikini or swimming suit in no time. You've heard of people spending over $700 for this exact same diet at doctor's offices? Now you can start the entire HCG diet for under $100. YourHCG.com is the largest HCG reseller in the entire country, and we want to help you. We have helped thousands of people shed unwanted weight, so call YourHCG.com today. No prescription required. No doctor visit required. No painful injections. With every purchase, we'll provide you with everything you need, including your supply of HCG, unlimited one-on-one phone and email support from one of our amazing health coaches, in addition to a large list of menus, diets, and much more. Visit www.yourhcg.com or call us at 877-748-2709 to order your HCG today. Again, that's 877-748-2709 at yourhcg.com. We love you.
Webster Griffin Tarpley will be with us in about 50 minutes in the next hour. Then I'm going to hit some other key news. And Darwin Bedeker from the Austin Gun Show is going to be joining us. They successfully, outside of law, shut down his gun show that have been in North Austin under other people for 18 years. Before we go back to Webster, Griffin, Tarpley, as we look into the crystal ball of what the globalists are doing, most of it publicly, and continue with false flag terror being reintroduced, these are just some of the books and videos we carry at Infowars.com, the online video bookstore. How Weed Won the West, exposing the phony drug war, the Ninth and Tenth Amendment fight that's waking up the left to getting states' rights back. This film is excellent. I consulted on it, and I'm in it. Exposes government drug dealing. We have this new book, Jesse Ventura, American Conspiracies. We can't ship these until the start of next month, but you can get it $5 discount on the book and then get a free film of your choice at Infowars.com with the book. A 1995 book, $5 off with a 1995 video free with the book. Loose Change Final Cut or Aaron Russo's Reflections and Warnings documentary I made about him and all the key info he discussed. So Jesse Ventura, that book available. We've got all four of Webster's books. I've got three of them here. Obama, the Postmodern Coup, excellent. Barack H. Obama, the Unauthorized Biography, his 9/11 Synthetic Terror, and Surviving the Cataclysm. You want to have a deep knowledge of this stuff. I've read all these books. They are powerful. All available at Infowars.com or by calling 888-253-3139. Okay, Webster, you got cut off by the break. So I'm going to reintroduce the questions. How will they launch the war with Iran? We've got some of their public planning on how they're going to hit Iran. Who will be involved in that, and what are the possible outcomes of it?
Well, I think given the weakness of the U.S. and the general method of the people who are now in power, probably not starting with a direct U.S. attack on Iran, but through some proxy. And there, of course, Israel always comes into question. Whether the Israelis are simply going to let themselves be used for that, I do not know. But that's obviously the very grave danger.
So you think the U.S. is the body and Israel's the tail? You don't think Israel's wagging the U.S.?
No. No, I think that's a misconception. It's London and New York, and then they have client states, and Israel is one of them. But in this case, there's a constituency in Israel to do this kind of stuff. But I think there's also an opposition. Let's keep that one as probably the leading example, right? So then the U.S. could say, why, this is a breakaway ally. We didn't do this, but now don't you dare retaliate, because that would destabilize.
And they've said that's the policy. They've said, Israel, don't attack, but we won't stop
right.
You if you do, and we're going to support you. And if anybody raises a hand to even block your attacks, that will be called terrorism.
Well, the thing that there's been, the Israelis in the past 2 years have been told no, 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 no. And now I wonder if that is changing behind the scenes. That's a big obvious question. Otherwise, you have all of these Gulf of Tonkin false flag events of all different types. I mean, the entire panoply that we've discussed over the years comes into play. Let's talk about how you mobilize to stop this, though, because I think this is really essential. The first thing is, this Christmas Patsy story, right, the Umar Farouk Abdul Muttalib, this has fallen apart faster and more than any other similar case in recent years, because we now have the testimony not of just anybody, but the Undersecretary of State, Patrick Kennedy, Undersecretary of State for Management, that means consular services and visas, saying, we wanted to take his visa away, but there's this other federal agency that overrode it and said, no, we have a national security reason for you to keep the visa in his hands because we're following him. We want to know what federal agency. We want to know who, people, names, posts.
Well, they said intelligence agency, so it's probably the CIA.
Well, it could be law enforcement, too. CIA, obviously the leading candidate, but it could be DIA. It could be somebody inside the State Department itself. You don't know.
Stay there. Back in 70 seconds with the final hour. Webster, we will continue.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.